Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. I am Nick Reed. The National Republican Senatorial Committee, which is a campaign group dedicated to helping get Republicans, you know, elected, reelected in the Senate, released a video yesterday to mark the beginning of the impeachment trial, and it is, I'm telling you, the difference in Republican messaging now versus what it was 5 years ago and all the years prior is an absolute amazing difference. I mean, it used to be so frustrating for me to recognize how lacking they were in an inability to connect with people. And all of the missed opportunities. I mean, it was like, is there no one in that world up there in D.C. amongst Republicans that understands how to connect to people? And they have managed to discover it. And while, you don't bat a thousand necessarily, they are certainly, I'm telling you, it's a 180-degree turn when it comes to Democrats' ability to message successfully to voters versus Republicans. And things have swapped where Democrats seem to have become so unsteady emotionally because of just this hatred of Trump that they cannot discipline themselves in order to connect with voters on a message where Republicans have managed to do it. So anyway, that being said, after we get news with Don Luzader, I want to play for you the ad. It's audio and video. Obviously, you'll hear the audio portion of it, which is the most significant part of it. And we'll get it up in its entirety with the video also at KSGF.com. First, Don Luzader with the latest news.
Well, this band of wintry weather involving some light snow and sleet is starting to move into the Springfield metro area as we look at it on radar. It's from about Republic all the way down to Kimberling City. Pretty long line there. And the National Weather Service says we can expect a quick burst of freezing rain, sleet, and snow headed into the Springfield area over the next hour. And a few slick spots are possible. We did have at least some partly covered roads as Parker's been telling us off to the southwest of Springfield and areas like Aurora, Pierce City, and Monett. We also had some sleet up in Appleton City and El Dorado Springs this morning. Greene County deputies have recovered a stolen vehicle from Arkansas this morning after a pursuit into downtown Springfield. Authorities found the vehicle crashed in between the Aviary Cafe and another car in downtown Springfield. Authorities took the driver into custody after a short pursuit. And Lucky's Market in Springfield says February 12th will be their last day in business. The store opened on Glenstone in January of last year. This is one of the 32 chain stores that are closing their doors. And that is the latest news.
You know, I've never bought food there, but on a number of occasions I've bought beer there because they, while they don't have a massive quantity, they generally will have some more unique beers that you don't find even at some of the large, or I haven't been able to find them, like, because I'll hit Macadoodles. There's one on 60 in Republic, right, so that's sort of my go-to. And Price Cut, so now Hy-Vee has a great selection also, but every so often I would find something in there.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you, one day I was there and there was a gal stocking stuff, and I was like, do you know anything? Because I want to ask some questions, and she was extremely well versed in the beers, which kind of surprised me because generally not everyone is. You know, the odds of somebody stocking beer and actually, and she worked there. She wasn't a distributor or anything. And I thought, oh, man, this is a great place to come. So,
well, you have February 12th to go stock up on that beer and get as much as you can.
I mean, I hate to think selfishly like this, but I wonder if they'll, like, have any really great deals and blow that stuff out.
I don't know. They might, might.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. KTTS First Alert Forecast. Sponsored by Anchor Tactical, supply that winter weather advisory until 6 tonight for areas north and west of Springfield. Winter weather advisory for Springfield and areas east from noon today until noon tomorrow. So we've got rain mixing with freezing rain through the day with a high of 35, that continuing overnight with a low of 32. Rain likely tomorrow with a high of 40. And then Friday, cloudy with a high of 37. It's 29 with snow showers and other stuff mixed in the Springfield area. So the National Republican Senatorial committee has released the following ad. Now, I'm doing something I don't like to do, and I'm streaming this directly from a site because I did not have this prior to the show, where generally I'll record it, and then that's just a more foolproof way of preventing there from being any sort of technical hiccups. But that being said, I just wanted to forewarn you, if there is some sort of buffering issue, that's the reason for that. I don't anticipate it. So this is an ad. This was released yesterday, and it's just a really great ad by the Republican Senatorial Committee here. And we'll get the video as well up at KSGF.com.
They never wanted him to be president. They never even thought it was possible.
This isn't a real presidential run.
Trump will not be president.
He will never be president.
But then, America spoke.
A complete earthquake.
Donald Trump wins the presidency.
And when President Trump was sworn in as the 45th president of the United States, the left lost it.
Establish justice!
We the people!
This impeachment sham started the day he was elected.
The first headline in the Washington Post before the president was inaugurated was they were going to impeach him.
I will fight until he is impeached.
We're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the motherfucker.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
This is about preventing a potentially disastrous outcome from occurring next year.
They're impeaching me, you know why? Because they want to win an election, and that's the only way they can do it.
So let's be clear. This is not some neutral judgment that Democrats came to reluctantly. It's not some somber moment or serious exercise for the left. It is the predetermined end of a partisan crusade.
Nancy Pelosi has said she's not going to send the articles of impeachment over.
Wait a minute. This is not very serious if you're not sending over the articles.
For handing out souvenir impeachment pens.
The Congress is wasting a lot of their time and our time.
I've been a Democrat for 49 years. I'm very disappointed in the Democratic Party right now.
They are trying to prevent President Trump from winning a second term.
An angry mob is at the gate. But the United States Senate has the watch. The Senate exists for moments like this. So it's time for the adults in the room to have their seat at the table. Nancy Pelosi and House Democrats have had their turn. The sham is over. A fair trial starts now.
All right, now, the audio, of course, it is just such a great ad, if you want to call it that. And the visuals accompany it very, very well. You see the crazed lefties burning cars, smashing windows. You know, we're far enough removed from inauguration and the election day. We forget that these people, they went and you know, they sort of did a repeat of Ferguson in some parts of the countries where they just went smashing things, lighting things on fire, attacking people. They just went nuts. And then you have intermixed in there Democrats like Maxine Waters calling on these people to go out and to, you know, harass Republicans. And it is put together very well, and it really does sum up. It cuts through the noise. It absolutely cuts through the noise. That is a Cliff Notes version of what all of this has been about since the election. And every bit of that's true. I saw that Senator Hirono from Hawaii doing an interview, and she's like, out there trying to get Trump since he got elected. I mean, that's conspiracy theory stuff. And they're trying to, because this is all coming back to haunt them. And so what they're trying to do is what they always do, is dismiss it as some sort of conspiracy theory and pretend, oh no, we've been perfectly bipartisan all this time. We've been trying to work with Trump. What are you talking about? And as you heard Mitch McConnell there reading from the Washington Post, the day after the election or inauguration, which was the swearing in, one of the two, that the Washington Post headline about how Democrats were already trying to figure out how to impeach him. You heard in their own words. Ocasio-Cortez. Tlaib, she's the one that famously told her young daughter, we're going to impeach the mother blanker. I mean, Maxine Waters, of course. I mean, this has been going on since he got elected. So they announced a long time ago what they were going to do, and they just figured out a way to do it. They just had to crack. I mean, if you want, let's just step back for a moment and take the politics out of it. Let's say that there was some individual was arrested for some sort of, arrested for embezzlement. Relatively high-profile person. And here are the charges that we've got for embezzlement and so forth. And then somebody releases audio of numerous people involved in the allegations and in the prosecution years back saying, we're going to figure out how to get this person. We're going to get him. We're going to arrest him and have him put in jail. For months and months and months, saying that amongst themselves, we're going to nail this person. We're going to get him off the. We're going to eventually do it. And then 3 years later, they come up with all, and they're like, oh no, we're perfectly unbiased individuals. Now, you know what would happen? It would all be totally dismissed. If you had the people who were in charge of crafting the accusations, filing the complaints, moving forward with it, if it turned out that for months and years they had been talking about how this was something that they were going to be, that they were going to do this, they were going to find some reason to do it. They didn't have a reason for several years, but eventually that's what they settled upon. That's called a setup. In fact, those very people would face prison time for framing somebody for a crime. This isn't conspiracy theory. This isn't speculation. For years now, they've been telling us they were going to do this. They just did not know how. And you can't claim, well, no, I mean, they knew why they were going to do it. What is it that they are, the articles of impeachment? Of course, they're these concocted allegations that aren't even crimes, but it's all surrounding Ukraine, right? Well, when did that even first come up? What, 2.5 years after they began talking about impeaching him? How can you talk about and argue for impeaching someone if it's 2.5 years later before the very thing that you're impeaching them for actually occurs? If they began speaking of it for the first time when their allegations were being thrown around, you could at least timeline be like, well, okay, the argument they're making is crap and everything, but what we're looking at instead is they were claiming they were going to impeach him for 2 years before they even figured out what they were going to impeach him over. By all standards, that is absolutely corrupt. I don't care how much you hate Trump, but you have to have a hatred for the truth. I know it's hard for a lot of people because they just hate Trump and they've spent years hating Trump and they have themselves convinced that he's a horrible, awful person and in their minds he is. But we have a rule of law. We have what is supposed to be fairness and justice, and we don't simply concoct crimes in order to get people because we don't agree with them politically, because the election did not go our way. And the thing of it is, it's so transparent, which is what's great about that ad. In 2.5 minutes, they give the Cliff Notes version of what's happened over the last 3 years, and that's 3.5, coming up on 3.5, where you have 2.5 years of them saying, we're going to do it, we're going to do it, we're going to do it. I mean, admitting it. In their own words. Anyway, very, very effective. I wish they'd buy airtime and run that on television. But for the fact it's, you know, 2 minutes and 15 seconds, somewhere around there. Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. Queen City Motors, talking text line 447 KSGF Gomez. So great to hear a message where Republicans come out swinging, where in the past they would let the Dems define who we are. And this is completely 100% attributable to Donald Trump. I don't know that people necessarily appreciate the difference that he has made when it comes to Republicans and their messaging. And I don't want anyone to misunderstand me. The Republican Party is still not, and I don't think ever necessarily will, fully embrace Donald Trump and who he is. And they still are fearful in a number of capacities. But without question, the fact that they just don't automatically take it anymore. And this is one of the reasons that Democrats and the media are so mad. And by the way, why they everything's so divisive now. Oh, we're more divisive than ever. Well, it's just Republicans quit letting you smack them around. I mean, yeah, they're fighting back. If you want to call that divisive, sure. But it's not a bad thing. Self-defense is not a bad thing. For years and years and years and years and years and years, Republicans just took it and took it and took it and took it. And voters were forced to take it. I'll remember this moment. I think it was the first time that I don't think I knew James T. Harris yet. Now, many of you know James T. Harris. He used to fill in for me. I'd fill in for him. Now he's in Phoenix. And he actually, over Christmas break, filled in for Glenn Beck. And I first got to know him when he and I both worked in Milwaukee. We worked for competing news talk stations. And I believe it was prior to that, John McCain made a campaign stop. I want to say it was one of the first, if not the first, campaign stop after Sarah Palin was introduced as as the running mate. And I want to say it was in Waukesha. But they were allowing sort of Q&A from the audience, and James T. was one of those chosen, probably because he's black, to ask John McCain a question. And the question essentially was, when are you going to stand up? I mean, because it was a period of time when somebody had, you know, Barack Obama, they started calling him Barack Hussein Obama, using his middle name, and John McCain was really chastising Republicans for doing that. And you know, you had James T. Harris, and it was on, I think, CNN and a number of other outlets, because he was kind of chastising John McCain. When are you going to stand up to this? What is this? And Republicans were just so tired of being told to sit down and take it. So tired of being told, well, you know, we've got to be civil, and, you know, you just have to be used to being accused of being a racist and hating poor people and wanting to starve children and being against teachers and hating workers. And, you know, that's just who you are. And it just, they were tired of it. Incidentally, this is one of the reasons that Christians are such a big supporter of Donald Trump, because Christians have been forced to be on the receiving end of this as well by Democrats and the media. And Donald Trump is the first Republican that, just almost visually, stood tall in front of all of these voters that have been forced to take it all this time and just said, don't worry, I'll protect you. And you can't do that. That's divisive. Oh, but the tone. You need to set a better tone. Why? Democrats haven't. I love how name-calling, we're told, all of a sudden was introduced by Donald Trump. Oh, yes. Because Republicans have never been called homophobic, Islamophobic, destroyers of the planet, anti-science. I mean, you could just go down the racist. See, it's perfectly okay for Democrats to call Republicans names because it's just true. But Donald Trump can't do it back because that's divisive. Well, now the point being is a lot of Republicans have learned that it's okay to stand up for yourself. I don't know if you saw the McSally over there at Arizona. And one of these hacks from CNN tried to ask her a question. And she's like, I'm not talking to you. What did she call him? I'll have to find the audio and play it for you because it's perfect. Something that never, ever, ever would have happened prior to Trump. And if it did, she would have been stripped from every committee and Republicans would have led the charge to censure her or whatever else. She called, a liberal hack, she called him. I'm not going to answer your questions, you liberal hack. We've got to take a break. We'll go into traffic after that, and we've got Don Luzader in news, and I'll find that audio of McSally for you as well as we continue on. I do want to mention today, let's see, there is a conservative businessman's lunch. This is Don Carriker's deal that he's got at Logan's Roadhouse at noon. It's not like an official meeting. It's a social networking deal for conservative business owners. So if you are interested in having, who doesn't want to have lunch anyhow, but that'll be at Logan's Roadhouse today at noon with Don Carriker for conservative businessman's lunch. Okay. All right. Quick break and then traffic and more. I'm Nick Reed. Springfield's News Talk FM, 1041 KSGF. I am Nick Reed. I think this is that. All right, so Senator Martha McSally, who is the reporter? This is somebody from CNN. This is a couple days old, but in the context of Republicans over the past several years, because of Trump recognizing that they don't have to be the whipping post for everything that they are accused of by Democrats on the left, they don't always take it any longer.
Does somebody consider new evidence as part of the impeachment trial?
Man, you're a liberal hack.
You're not going to comment, Senator, about this?
You're a liberal hack, buddy.
So that was Senator. Yeah, so he's asking her from CNN, are you going to accept additional evidence? She's like, you're a liberal hack. It's just that would not have happened. And if it did, censure. There would have been, every Republican would have been called on to denounce her. And, of course, they are demanding an apology. And she's like, no, I'm not going to apologize for that. I don't think so. No. Remember, was it Joe Wilson of North or South Carolina during the State of the Union address where President Obama claimed what would be a lie? That Obamacare would not, I think it was Obamacare, would not in any way, shape, or form go to illegal aliens. And of course, he knew it wasn't. And he yelled, you lie. I mean, the Republicans tripped over themselves to strip him of all his committee chairs or his committee memberships and any titles he had, all to prove that, no, we don't fight back. No, we don't. No, go ahead. Just slap us around. Do what we want. You just think it's almost disgusting the way that Mitt Romney and John McCain, they're just such pansies when it comes to that. Don Luzader is here with the latest news update.
Well, it's really gotten slick out there in the last 20 minutes in Springfield. Yep, several crashes along James River Freeway. One of those vehicles has been flipped over and one person trapped inside. So, folks, please make sure that you're allowing extra time to get where you're going this morning. The roads, especially right now along James River Freeway, but also I-44, are reported as pretty slick. Everyone I've talked to so far has reported that it's sleet coming down more so than snow. I talked to a lady who was at I-44 and West Bypass just north of there on 160. We have reports of a vehicle off the road. She says it's sleeting there. The gentleman I talked to around Republic Road and FF, where we've had about two or three crashes this morning, he says sleet is coming down there as well. So make sure that you're taking it slow. Greene County deputies have a driver in custody this morning after a pursuit in downtown Springfield. Deputies pursued a stolen black SUV after attempts to stop that car failed. Authorities found the vehicle wedged between another vehicle and the Aviary Cafe near Jefferson and Walnut. Deputies caught up to the driver after a short foot pursuit. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. Discounts for veterans, firefighters, police officers, and EMTs. Winter weather advisory until 6 tonight for areas north and west of Springfield. Winter weather advisory for Springfield and areas east from noon until noon tomorrow. And as Don mentioned, this stuff is coming down. Things are starting to get sleet. It's going to continue through the day with a high of 35 tonight, 32. All of that changing to rain tomorrow with a high of 40. And Friday, cloudy with a high of 37. It's 29 with rain, sleet, snow, all that stuff mixed together coming down in certain parts of the area. Representative Tulsi Gabbard has filed a lawsuit against Hillary Clinton for defamation over the former Secretary of State's remarks on a podcast characterizing the Democratic presidential candidate as a Russian agent. Well, she just didn't characterize her. She said she was one. Gabbard filed the lawsuit today in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. Gabbard's attorneys allege that Clinton's comments have smeared Gabbard's political and personal reputation. Gabbard's attorney, Brian Dune, said in a statement, Tulsi Gabbard is a loyal American civil servant who has also dedicated her life to protecting the safety of all Americans. Gabbard's presidential campaign continues to gain momentum, but she has seen her political and personal reputation smeared and her candidacy intentionally damaged by Clinton's malicious and demonstrably false remarks. Gabbard's campaign referred all questions on the lawsuit to her attorney. Spokesperson for Clinton was not immediately available for comment. So this is in reference to an October podcast where she said that Republicans were grooming a Democratic presidential candidate for a third-party bid and said that the candidate, being Tulsi Gabbard, is a favorite of the Russians. And of course, she's not the only one. Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, she also accused of being a Russian asset or agent. Maybe it will get to the point where her defense will truly be mental defect. Well, see, the thing is, yes, she did make these accusations, but she makes accusations. It's clear she's lost touch with reality. Maybe that is going to be the defense that she puts forth. A1 Custom Car Care for all of your car care needs. They still do, I want to mention, specialize in mufflers. Now, I mention this because they used to have muffler in the name. But what happened there was a lack of recognition by many people that they were experts in all areas of vehicles. And so they wanted to make sure people knew that all areas of vehicles they could deal with. So they became A1 Custom Car Care. This is several years ago. Well, in doing so, it's easy for people to forget that one area of their expertise is mufflers, even custom-built mufflers, all of this stuff that you may have any sort of muffler needs. A1 Custom Car Care, these are the experts. These are the ASE-certified technicians that can take care of you and your vehicle. So whether it's something that is beyond the muffler, more widespread, or just routine maintenance, or if you do have a customized muffler situation, A1 Custom Car Care, one of their three locations, Fort and Sunshine, Springfield, Highway 60, Republican West, Sunset, across from Classic Rock Coffee. Neosho State Representative Ben Baker is looking to restrict content offered at libraries in Missouri, among other reasons, because of drag queen story hours that are being held at some Missouri public libraries. St. Joseph and St. Louis public libraries have both held story times featuring people dressed in drag. Under Baker's bill, public libraries could lose state funding and librarians should be fined or jailed, or could be fined or jailed, for displaying age-inappropriate material. Tanner Rambo, who's helping to plan a rally to protest the bill, says drag queen story hours are not the same as drag queen shows. Rambo telling Missouri Net affiliate KWSO in Jefferson City, even on a cruise ship, a stand-up comedian does one show at 9 p.m. that's accessible for everyone, and then he or she does another show at midnight that's only allowed to 18 and up. If you're going to a nightclub in the middle of the night to see a show, chances are it's adult-only content. And kind of comment that these story hours are somehow involving nudity or in any way comparable to strippers is just completely erroneous. What's wrong with strippers? I love it when people who cry that they're subject of judgment categorize other groups. It's not like we're strippers. Oh, I see. So something's wrong with strippers. Baker, a Republican, told the Kansas City Star that the story hours are a public safety issue because they've drawn child predators. Baker is a minister and the former dean of students at Ozark Bible Institute in Neosho. So the drag queen rally is going to happen March 7th at Missouri Capitol in Jefferson City. This is just such exhausting stuff to have to deal with. Now, this may seem like an obvious question. But why is this something that is happening in the first place? See, here's the thing. And I happen to know some individuals who participate in drag queen events. They aren't in drag all the time. It is part of their performance persona. That is part of their performance. That is when they dress up. It is part of that. It is one of the elements of the performance that is referenced here by Rambo, the drag queen. So when you show up to an event in that particular costume, you are dressing in a way that you don't normally do other than when you are performing, but you're choosing to also do it at a library in front of children. So in other words, why is that being done? Why are you dressing specifically as you are when that is attire that you wear while putting on some sort of performance? Now, of course, I suppose the argument's going to be, well, we're not promoting the fact that we perform, and that seems to be the distinction that is being drawn here, that this isn't in any way, shape, or form promoting or having any sort of connection to the shows that we do. Well, let's say that I am in a production of Cats, and I go to the library, and I dress as a cat. I can't really say, oh, no, this doesn't have anything to do with my performance in Cats. No, this doesn't have anything to do with that at all. Well, of course it would. Why else would I be doing it, right? The only reason I would be doing that is if it's because I wanted to make some sort of connection with the kids to the fact that I perform in Cats as a performer. So to say that there is a total separation between showing up at an event dressed in costume and the shows that you perform in costume, that's not realistic. And listen, I don't have, like I said, I know people, I'm friends with people that do this. I don't have any problem with it. You know, personally, it's one of those things that ultimately, if you don't like it, you know, then don't participate in it. Now here comes, though, the conflict. And this is where a lot of people, I've noticed this position that a number of people have taken that are, you know, for limited smaller government and freedom and the, you know, where, this is where I fall, taking responsibility for your own action. If you don't like it, don't participate in it. The problem is these are public libraries. You have no choice but to participate in them because you pay for them. We all do. I keep seeing when it comes to inappropriate materials in libraries and inappropriate behavior, the criticism of Republicans because they're supposed to be smaller government and this is, you know, a decision for parents to make. But this is, libraries are government. These aren't private entities. I mean, believe me, there's plenty of criticism to go around to the Republican Party for interfering in private industry, but this is not one of them. These are taxpayer funded and run just like public schools are. And while they may oftentimes get private donations, so do schools. I mean, schools do fundraisers all the time. Believe me, I know. And, you know, so there is also an infusion of private dollars that are put in there. But libraries are taxpayer funded. How is it that we are supposed to be, you know, we're okay to want to have some sort of say over what our kids learn in school, but we're not when it comes to libraries? Explain that to me. I don't understand that. I tend to feel there's this legislation regarding the libraries as well, where there would be a community elected board that would make these sorts of decisions. And this is another area where, again, for me, it's a little odd because they're saying, well, you know, we don't need a board making these decisions. Parents can decide for their kids. Well, that's like saying, well, we don't need school boards or anything when it comes to schools. You know, this is a publicly funded entity in which our children go into. And the idea that that people are supposed to say, oh, well, they can do whatever they want to with my tax dollars. I don't have the right to say anything about it. I just disagree with that. Now, I don't want anyone, I'm not lobbying here for, I don't really feel strongly one way or another regarding whether or not a community board, much like a school board, should be set up to make these decisions. I ultimately don't think it would make much of a difference in the way that the libraries would function is one of the large reasons that I don't seem to care one way or another on it at this point. But this is government. This isn't government intervention. Because it's government. Libraries are government. And, this is the one area. I mean, every decision that is made regarding a library is government intervention because it's the government doing it. How many people they hire, what books they have on the shelves, all that's being decided by government. And when it comes to the issue, much like a public school, of having a person show up in costume that is also not used in daily life, but instead used for the specific purpose of performing in an arena that is generally adult-like. There's nothing wrong with people having a problem with this. And I think it's clear. No one seems to ask why. Why do you feel the need to do this? If you don't go to the grocery store wearing your drag performance outfits, if you don't go to the bank wearing them, if you don't go, why is it that you want to wear them into the library? And I think we know the reason for this. It's because there is a desire to make it seem totally normal. And I understand that people who live certain lifestyles that are not considered to be mainstream often believe that they want it to be mainstream, so they try and, you know, they start with the kids. So that kids get used to it, so by the time they're adults, it doesn't seem like any sort of a deal. Yeah, I get that. I understand that. But I do not believe that there's anything wrong with people saying this is not the place for that to happen. And especially of all the audiences, for it to be aimed at children. And to require taxpayers to pay for that sort of scenario to occur, it is not unreasonable, in my assessment, to have a problem with it. I know this is just, of all the things that I have just said that are going to offend people, none will offend as much as this next statement, and that is, I think that libraries are not needed in the way that they once were anyhow. This is why libraries tend to try and find ways to be relevant, whether it is having Wii tournaments with elderly people or letting people check out movies for free or not, you know, doing different workshops. Libraries were erected during a time when the average person did not have access to any books at all. They couldn't afford them. They didn't have access to them. Well, clearly, that situation does not exist today. Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. And there's so many different groups talking about drag queens, and they're going to protest against this legislation that might prevent them from being allowed to read to kids in libraries. And you know, like I said, I see much of this. And they obviously aren't the only group that does it. It is wanting essentially to win people over, right? I mean, I think that's fair to say. Win approval, win, you know, to normalize so people, you know, see and accept me for who I am and so forth. And I, listen, I got to tell you, and this goes for everybody, you do not need to win people's approval to be who you are. You don't need that. One of the most damaging things that has been done in our society today is convincing people that they need everyone to agree with who they are and what they do. I also happen to believe this is one of the many reasons that we have such high depression and suicide rates, is because people have become convinced that everyone has to agree with them. Everyone has to agree with their lifestyle, with who they are, and they cannot be happy with who they are without getting other people's approval. This is why they demand people agree with whatever their lifestyle happens to be, and if they don't, we have to get rid of them, we have to do away with them. You don't need other people's approval. Whatever you are, if you're LGBTQ, if you're a Christian, if you are a drag queen, whatever you may be, you don't have to get the world to agree with who you are and what you do. That is between you and God. And if you don't believe, you know, in God, then it's just between you and you, I suppose. The source of happiness is not in the approval of others. Glenn Beck's coming up next. Talk to you tomorrow.